Oliver Holm. He was a doctor. And as such, he was very interested in the use of ether. They used to use ether to put you to sleep when you had surgery. In order to know how his patients felt under the influence, he had a dose administered to himself. As he was going under in a dreamy state, a profound thought came to him. He believed that he had suddenly grasped the key to all the mysteries in the universe. When he regained consciousness, however, he was unable to remember the insight. Because this was so important, he thought, I'm going to try this again. But this time, he had a stenographer present to take down his great thoughts. Ether was administered, and sure enough, just before passing out, the insight reappeared. He mumbled the words, and the stenographer took them down, and he went to sleep confident the knowledge had been captured. Upon awaking, he turned to the stenographer and asked her to read what he'd uttered. And this is what he said. The entire universe is permeated with the strong odor of turpentine. Well, there you have it. The mystery of the universe, turpentine. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful that you're in control of our world and lives, especially when things are so messy and confusing. As you responded in the book of Job, in chapter 38, 12 and 13, have you ever commanded the morning to appear and caused the dawn to rise in the east? Have you made daylight spread to the ends of the earth to bring an end to the night's wickedness? Our humble and simple response to this is, no, we have not, Jesus, but you have. And so it's to you we surrender the whole of our being. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today is going to come out of Daniel chapter 8. You might remember in the New Testament, we've been preaching out of the book of 1 Peter and the Old Testament, the book of Daniel. So this morning I go back to the book of Daniel chapter 8, 1 to 27. Ernie's going to put it up on the screen. You'll be able to follow along as I go through the text. Whenever we come working through a book in the Bible, it's great to read ahead and begin dialoguing with a portion of Scripture. Let me also encourage you to check out the Bible Project, which is online, which gives a great overview of a book, in this case, Daniel. This Old Testament book is written in the genre of apocalyptic writing. Apocalyptic meaning to reveal what is hidden or behind the curtain, like they used to have on the game show, Let's Make a Deal. God is revealing a mystery to us. And the second genre is that of prophecy, which can be both forthtelling and sometimes future telling. As the Bible Project coins it, the visions in the previous chapters, chapter 2 and 7, encourage patience in the midst of difficulty and suffering. What are the people of God waiting for? For God to bring his kingdom rule and to vindicate those who are suffering. Do you dream? Do you remember any of your dreams? Do you dream in color or in black and white? Do your dreams have any significance? For me, sometimes it's drinking Coca-Cola and eating pizza too late. Nothing more. In recent years, I've actually had some significant dreams, what I would consider God dreams. When you have God dreams, things happen. The first time I had a dream that made sense or made me pay attention was one time when I was waking up from sleep and I felt like God spoke to me and wanted me to give more money to the church. And my initial thought was, God doesn't speak to me through dreams, so I don't need to do anything with this information. Isn't that, reasonable? I thought about it for a day and came to the conclusion my initial thought would not have been to give more money, so this could be God. I tore my check up and wrote a new one. I was in my office. 15 minutes later, someone knocked at my door, handed me an envelope, and left. When I opened it up, it had $500 cash in it. People usually do not give me envelopes with cash in it, and I realized something just happened. Daniel's having dreams, and God is speaking to him about some things that are going to play out going forward. God still speaks to us through dreams and visions today. Daniel chapter 8, it starts a lot like Daniel chapter 7, with Daniel having another dream or vision. This is somewhere around 548 and 547 BC. Just like in chapter 7, there are animals in the dream representing political nations and empires. These represent human kingdoms who have set themselves up against God and have become beasts to everyone around them. In Daniel chapter 8, verse 3, there was a ram that had two horns. The amount of horns is often symbolic of how many leaders and nations were involved. Verse 4, the ram charged westward, northward, and southward. All other beasts were powerless, and no one rescued from its power, and so it did as it pleased. This sheep represented the empire of the Medes and Persians. But in verse 5, a male goat comes from the west with his feet not even touching the ground, and it ran with savage force. Can you see a conflict coming? I can see a conflict coming. In Daniel 8:7, the goat was enraged and struck the ram, breaking its two horns. The ram did not have the power to withstand it and was trampled on, and no one could rescue the lamb. The goat represented Greece and Alexander the Great. But at the height of its power, its great horn was broken. Alexander died in 323 BC at the age 33. And so his power was short-lived and was replaced by four prominent horns. After Alexander's death, the kingdom was split by four generals. Ptolemy, who was over Egypt and Palestine, Seleucus, over Babylon and Syria, Limasinicus over Asia Minor, and Antipater over Macedonia. Then in verse 9, out of one of the four horns grew another horn, which grew exceedingly south, east, and toward the beautiful land, which would have been Jerusalem, which was attacked. This came out of the horn ruling Babylon and Syria, and it was led by Antiochus Epiphanes in the 2nd century B.C., in Daniel 8:10, this last horn grew as high as the heavens and threw down some of its hosts and trampled on them. This leader acted arrogantly and took the regular burnt offering away. Antiochus overthrew Israel's high priest, looted the temple, and replaced the worship of God with a Greek form of worship. Anyone who was found with the book of the law or adhering to the law was condemned to death. It would have been the Old Testament. Now, wouldn't that put a great cross if this was our faith in Jesus? Verse 13, someone asks, how long would this transgression that makes desolation of the sanctuary of the host be trampled on? This is the answer in verse 14, 2300 days, which is more than likely symbolic, but points to God's future deliverance and the sanctuary being restored in its rightful place. These days are the time period between when the temple was ransacked to when the worship was reinstated by Judas Maccabees in 165 BC. I love it in verse 15 when Daniel is having a hard time understanding all this imagery. And my response is, no kidding. Verse 17, Gabriel sent to explain the vision of Daniel, verse 19. Listen, and I'll tell you what will take place later in the period of wrath. For it refers to the appointed time of the end, or the end of persecution. Verse 20, the ram you saw represented the kings of the Medes and Persia. The male goat is the king of Greece, and the four horns are the four kingdoms that shall rise from this nation. And then, and when at last, the king rises out of the Grecian empire, verse 24, he shall grow strong in power, shall cause fearful destruction, and shall succeed in what he does. He'll destroy the powerful and the people of the holy ones. In 167 BC, Antiochus sacrificed a pig to the god Zeus in the temple. Verse 25, and he shall rise up against the prince of princes, referring to God. But he shall be broken, and not by human hands. The last verse in this section, verse 27, and Daniel was overcome and lay sick for some days. He was dismayed by the vision and didn't understand it. Kind of makes you want to have a dream, doesn't it? Tremper Longman III affirms that what is happening is that God's people suffer at the hands of power that rebel against God and seek to take his place. Ravensbrück was a concentration camp built by Germany in 1939 for women. Over 90,000 women and children perished in Ravensbrück at the hands of the Nazis. This was a prayer found in the clothing of a dead child. O Lord, remember not only the men and women of goodwill, but also those of ill will. But do not remember all of the suffering they have inflicted upon us. Instead, remember the fruits we have borne because of this suffering. Our fellowship, our loyalty to one another, our humility, our courage, our generosity, the greatness of heart that has grown from this trouble. When our persecutors come to be judged by you, let all of these fruits that we have borne be their forgiveness. Gordon Smith, in his book, The Wisdom of Babylon, it is prayer that sustains our capacity to trust God to do what only God can do. Have you been in seasons in your life where all seemed lost? All you have accomplished or worked hard to achieve completely unravels or falls apart. This could happen through a whole host of circumstances, like relationship breakdowns, the loss of a job, the disintegration of a marriage, health issues, a death, financial ruin. No one ever thinks they're going to be in this situation. But how do you survive when you're in the middle of it? The major theme in the book of Daniel is that in spite of the present-day circumstances, things are not always as they appear to be. Ultimately, God is the one who's in control and will determine the final outcome, how things will play out in the end. Nations will rise up against nations, conquering and crushing each other. The Medes and the Persians, Alexander the Great, Antiochus, crushing the people of Israel. The words that are repeated with repetition in the text are these: to be trampled on, and no one could be rescued from these oppressive powers. Are you finding yourself being trampled on right now with no sign of rescue on the horizon? For many, the only hope lies in the slightest possibility of winning the lottery and getting out from the oppressive rules of the system that holds them down. But ultimately, even this will not answer the longing of our souls. Each of the kingdoms were ruling with absolute power, crushing everyone and everything that got in their way until a bigger and stronger power arrives. Sometimes we get these imaginary ideas that if we were running things, somehow things would turn out better for us and everyone around us. I mentioned this before. When I was in elementary school, we had class rules, and we were monitored by our peers. If we broke the rules, it was recorded, and we had to write lines. Like, I will not talk in class. I'll not run in class. I'll not chew gum. Highly criminal activity. At the time, I was fairly well-liked and kept climbing the ranks until I was the vice president of something. But when I had to enforce the rules, my popularity sunk like a rock in water. You do not want me in charge. I do not want me in charge. It will not go well. Whenever we attempt to do things in small ways or large ways without trusting in God, it always seems to go off the rails. One time when Carrie and I were driving near Medicine Hat in the heat of summer with our kids, we ran into a storm of locusts. I've never seen so many grasshoppers in my life. You could hear them crunching as you drove over them. I've heard cases where people have slid right off the road because the grasshoppers being crushed made the road so slippery. What we need more than anything else is not more money, not more power, not more influence, but God in our lives directing us. Longman says, God is sovereign and has set a limit on how long the present and evil world will oppress us. These facts should comfort us by reminding us that God is in control of the situation, both now and into the future. Let's pray. God, we know that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. As we read earlier, everything was created through you and for you. Our comfort is in your character and who you are. You have placed us and the whole world in your hands. Use us to love your glorious world. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I don't have enough words. I'll never live enough lifetimes to fully know your worth, to know all that you deserve. All of my deceptions, all of my duplicity, now there is no record. You assume the best of me, and this is why I thank the Lord for saving me. When I was weak, so I will sing. This is why I thank the Lord for everything. This is why I thank the Lord. Everything I have to give, the sum of my attention is measured in the praise I lift. And this is how I thank the Lord for saving me. When I was weak, so I will sing. This is how I thank the Lord for everything. This is how I thank the Lord. This is how I thank the Lord for loving me and keeping me. So I will sing. This is how I thank the Lord for everything. This is how I thank the Lord. I will sing, I will sing, I will lift my praises to you. I will sing, I will sing, I will lift my praises to you. I will sing, I will sing, I will lift my praises to you. I will sing, I will sing, 'cause this is how I thank the Lord. This is how I thank the Lord for saving me when I was weak. So I will sing. This is how I thank the Lord for everything. This is how I thank the Lord. This is how I thank the Lord for loving me and keeping me. So I will sing. This is how I thank the Lord for everything. This is how I thank the Lord.
Kids are coming. I'll tell you a story till they get here. When we grew up on the farm, we had a barn, had pigs in it and had cows in it. And in the wintertime, so there was no heat in the barn. And so in the wintertime, all we had to do is keep one cow in the barn. And the cow gave up enough heat that it heated the barn and the water never froze. And I say that to say this. Who knew that one cow would have so much influence? Because I'll tell you, when the water froze in the barn, and it did at times, it meant we had to carry it from a long ways away into the barn, gallons and gallons of water. We underestimate the influence that each of us have in life. Only one cow to heat a barn. Who knows what God has done and is going to do through each of your lives? Okay, one child, two children have come. I think there are more. Here they come. It's the greatest thing in the world for those of us who aren't young anymore. When they come out of the back, they come flying out of the steps. They aren't walking down them. They come flying. This morning, our focus in our communion time and the Lord's Supper is thankfulness. Jesus comes and dies so we can have life. In the book of John, it says, if a kernel of wheat goes in the ground and dies, it produces a plentiful harvest. If it doesn't die, it just remains a single seed. So Jesus, life, death, resurrection, and ascension has now brought us life in every way that we can imagine. Let me give you a little instruction as we take communion this morning. When you come, there's two stations. You can get the bread and the juice. If you need gluten-free bread, there's gluten-free on either side. When you go out later, there'll be a basket that you can put the cup in or a garbage can, so you don't need to carry it the rest of the afternoon. And so I invite you to come, and once we take the juice and the bread and you'll sit, then we'll partake of the elements together. So I invite you to come. Thank you. just before we take communion, we're just going to be silent for about a minute. Just again as a reminder that God is present here. He knows what's going on in our lives. He's the only one who can rescue and deliver and heal us. And so in that silence, we'll just let him come, and then we'll go forward. Jesus, thank you for your presence here. We know that we're with you. We have everything we need. Amen. The Lord Jesus, the night he's betrayed, after supper, they broke the bread and he gave thanks. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Let's partake of the bread together." Jesus, we thank you for your broken body that has made all the difference in the world to our lives, that you've given us hope and joy beyond all the challenges and difficulties in life. In Jesus' name, amen. In the same way, he takes the cup and says, "This is the blood of the new covenant. Whoever drinks it does it in remembrance of me. Whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup proclaims the Lord's death until he comes again." We say, "Maranatha, come Lord Jesus." Let's partake of the cup together. Jesus, thank you for your shed blood that has made us new, that has given us hope beyond the grave. You are all we need. Amen. On our first Sunday of the month, which is our Communion Sunday, we also take up a benevolent offering, and so that's going to come and happen now. So I just have a couple announcements. Benediction, we'll do one more song, then you'll be dismissed. My announcements are, there's a tremendous amount of food here. You have a chance, like a chipmunk, to store up a lot of food in your cheeks and everywhere else. So there's a lot of soup, there's a lot of buns, there's a lot of desserts. So please eat as much as you can, because otherwise we have to take it home. We'd rather you ate it. So please do that. The other thing that's happening is the annual meeting is going to happen shortly after Soup and Pie. It'll happen in this building. Everybody is welcome to be a part of it. The best part for me is right at the start, because we're going to give people an opportunity to talk about how God has met them in this last year. And it's very, very encouraging. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing the one who holds the mysteries in life, the one who holds the mystery of the world, is God, and God alone. And he's the one that is with us. Amen.
Please stand if you're willing and able for our last song.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come and let your glory, come and let your glory fall. Our Father, who art in heaven, the rocks cry out your fame. Come and let your glory, come and let your glory fall. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song to the Lord. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim the mercy of your name, on earth as it is in heaven. God, give us every new morning, mercy is daily bread. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus we pray. Temptation, but deliver us with your hand. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus we pray. Father, we pray. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song to the Lord. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim the mercy of your name, on earth as it is in heaven. For the kingdom is yours, and the power is yours, and the glory forever, amen. And the kingdom is yours, and the power is yours, glory forever, amen. For the kingdom is yours, and the power is yours, and the glory forever, amen. For the kingdom is yours, and the power is yours, and the glory forever, amen. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim the mercy of your name, on earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim the mercy of your name, on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
All right, you're dismissed to eat.